Psalm 41. The message tonight is about the name of our Lord in the lips of his enemies and in the lips of his lovers. Psalm 41. And let me remind you that these psalms that I'm reading from are messianic psalms. A messianic psalm is one that is so designated in the New Testament as referring to Christ. Not of necessity the whole psalm, but certain portions. And these psalms have at least this in common, that all of them are messianic psalms, and you will see as we go along how the name of our Lord comes up in these psalms. The name of our Lord in the hands of his enemies, and the name of our Lord in the hands of his followers, those who love his name, and otherwise. So, Psalm 41, verse 5. Christ says this, "Mine enemies speak evil against me, saying, when will he die and his name perish?" So here is the name of our Lord upon the lips of his enemies. And they speak evil against him, saying, when will he die and his name perish? Now, turn to Psalm 102. And if you can but remember the psalms from which we read tonight, it was worth your while coming out to see how God has linked together, has given us a concatenation of the name of our Savior in these psalms. And now, listen to what the Father says concerning the name of his Son. The Lord Jesus in verse 23 is speaking, saying, "He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations." And now the Father says to the Son, he tells us this in Hebrews chapter 1, "Of old didst thou lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Now, Psalm 118. These are the words of our Savior. You are familiar with some of the words in this psalm. The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. Our Savior spoke of this at the end of his ministry. So this is a messianic psalm. But look at verse 15 now, and listen to the words of our Savior. "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." And Psalm 72, this theme about our Savior, his name, his glory, it is now taken up by the psalmist, by Solomon, the title gives us. Psalm 72, and look at verse 17. "His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that since children, some of us have known something about his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. We can remember that perhaps even in our unsaved days we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Our Father, we knew so little about the name Jesus at that time. We only knew about that name. And yet, Father, the Scriptures are filled with names that thou dost give him. And we are thankful that thou hast told us tonight in these Psalms that we've read about that name, how men feel about that name. And we desire to have our souls blessed, knowing what shall ultimately happen to that name. So, our God, prepare our hearts to receive the truth of the Scriptures. Cleanse us from our sins, thou dost know them. Lord, if of ourselves we would try to get something across to man, if of ourselves we would seek to be worthy to speak the name of thy Son, we would fail. It would never be attempted. But thou dost tell us that our sufficiency is of God. So, you who picked us up when we were without strength, you who lifted us and saved us when we were sinners, we pray now, Father, that as thy children, thou shalt empower us to speak the name of the Lord Jesus, to glorify that name. So, bless us this night, we pray. We commit all into thy hands, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I told you this morning that not all men loved the Lord Jesus. Some men hated our blessed Savior. And there were portions that we looked that told what they thought of the Father and of his Son, words that proceeded out of his mouth. And some of the strongest were these, and these are bad enough. When the wicked say unto God, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. That is blasphemy. When they would address their Creator and say, depart from us, we do not want to know your teachings, we have no desire to hear of your ways. But then, the time came in the history of man when God sent his Son in the fullness of time. And this is what they said concerning his Son. When will he die and his name perish? And so this is what the world thinks of the one who is so blessed to us and is so blessed to the Father. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the world says, when will he die and his name perish? So you must understand that you are not in a world that is your friend. The Lord Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. He said, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And he said about himself, they hated me without a cause. So, his name is hated, his person is hated, his followers are hated, the knowledge of God is hated, and this is what it says concerning ourselves before we trusted Christ as Savior. It says, we were filled with hate, we hated God, we were enemies in our minds and in our evil works, and this is our description. Some of us were more polite, some of us were brought up in Christian homes or were exposed to the Word of God, and there was somewhat of a superstition about this book. We called it the Good Book. But the last times are coming, and the Lord Jesus speaks about at the last times, the love of the many shall wax cold, and it says the world and its condition shall grow worse. So perhaps what was superstitiously regarded in the past as the Good Book is now laughed at, is cast aside. And whereas in the past men would acknowledge a supreme being, now the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the fool also says, not in his heart, but declares it, we want you to get away from us. We want you to leave us alone. We have no desire for the knowledge of your ways. And they say concerning the Lord Jesus, we are glad that he was crucified, and we want his name to perish forever. You must take this to mind. If you find those in the world that are friendly to you, that treat you politely when you speak the name of Jesus Christ, perhaps it would be good if you came upon some of those that hated your Savior, because the true condition of their heart would be manifested. They do not love the Lord Jesus. But what God says is this, if any man does not love our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The Father, from the time that he has been dealing with men, has sent prophets and servants and those to manifest his name to his people, to draw them back to himself. And it says, some they stone, some they kill, some they handle shamefully. And God said at last, he said, I have a beloved son. I will send him. It may be that they will reverence my son. But listen again. It says, when they saw him, they said, this is the heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. The same words that I read to you in Psalm 41, the Lord Jesus does not speak prophetically from the Psalms, but he speaks of something that is going to happen by the hands of those very ones that are listening to him. And it says, when they heard him speak that parable, they understood that he spake of them, and they sought to lay hands on him. But it was not his time as yet. And so the Lord Jesus escaped. This is what God is bringing to our attention, that not everyone loves the Lord Jesus, that there is not faith in all men, that some neglect so great salvation, but some are assiduously against all that God stands for, and especially his Son, the Lord Jesus. So, in the words of Psalm 41, and in the words of the parable, they both mention the word death. But at least in Psalm 41, it's stated this way, when will he die? But in the parable, they say, let us kill him. Do you see that progression of evil? Let us kill him. And then the only thing that kept them from destroying the Lord Jesus Christ was the fact that they were under the rule of Rome and they had not the authority to put him to death. And therefore, as Peter told them, you by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay, because they were not able to do it themselves, but they tried to. And you must remember that the hatred of men for the name of our Savior, for his person, from the very time that he came into the world, the same object of man has been revealed to us in the Scriptures. When he was born, and the wise men came to worship him, Herod said, you tell me where he is, and let me come and worship him. But Herod's intention was to kill him. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ became of age and gave his first message in his public ministry in his synagogue, they were infuriated with his words. And he spoke to them from their own Scriptures. They hated him. And they themselves tried to cast him over the brow of the city. But he passed through their midst. And again, they sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the multitudes. So from the time that Christ was born until the day that the Lord made this statement, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Until then, men sought to lay hands on our Savior, but they were prevented by the Father. They had no power. And the Lord Jesus said, you have no power against me except it were given thee from heaven. But then the Lord Jesus knew that the hour was come. And he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And what did man do with the beloved Son that the Father sent for their good? They laid hands on him and delivered him into the hands of lawless men. And him did they crucify and slay. Therefore, as we read in Psalm 41, when will he die and his name perish? This reveals to us the hidden thoughts of the hearts of men. You do not realize this until you bring some of the teachings of the Lord Jesus in their lives. And then they want to kill him. When the Lord Jesus spoke about blessing coming upon the Gentiles, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ for it. Whenever the Lord Jesus went against their traditions, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ for it. Now that hatred was there all along, and the hatred is in the world for all that we stand for. But it doesn't come out until the name of the Lord Jesus is mentioned, and then it comes out. And if the truth were drawn from the hearts of those that walk around us, that love not our Lord Jesus Christ, they would say, rather than have him to place inhibitions upon me, I would rather have him die. And rather than have the knowledge of Jesus, I want his name to perish forever. And that is the attitude of the world. And God tells it to us in the Psalms, and he tells it to us in the parables spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. And go and try to lead men to Christ, and take away from them the pleasures of sin, even for a season. And they will tell you what they think of Jesus and what they would do to Jesus if he came back again. They want him to die, and they want his name to perish. But I must tell you this. The very thing that they want to happen to Jesus shall never happen to our Savior. But the things which they want to happen to him shall happen to themselves. And I cannot help but rejoice and laugh, because that's what God is going to do. It speaks about God in his patience, extending mercy and compassion and forgiveness to the wicked. And they will not have God to reign over us. They want none of his ways. It says, in the coming day, when all of those offers of mercy are rejected, it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh when he shall have them in their dilemma, in their derision, and God will laugh from heaven. And this is that God of love that we speak about. And the Lord Jesus is going to say to them also, depart from you, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, this Jesus, meek and lowly, this sweet Jesus that the world would like to talk about, is one who speaks almost exclusively of hell. The hell fire references in the Bible, they're not spoken by someone like Paul, and the world likes to say, oh, these were the thoughts of Paul. They're almost exclusively from the lips of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who tells us about them, adding authority, and also at the same time showing that he who is love is telling us the truth, is warning us to flee from the wrath to come. So this is our Savior. And yet the very things that men desire for him are going to happen to themselves. I'm going to tell you three scriptures that refer to those that are enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ, that are wicked. And this is what God says concerning them. In the Psalms, he says three things. He says that the name of the wicked shall be blotted out forever and ever. It says in Proverbs, the name of the wicked shall rot. And it says, the name of the wicked, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not endure. It shall be removed from remembrance. Isn't that remarkable? The very things that they wanted to happen to our Savior and his name, God says it is going to happen to your name. It's not going to be used. It's not going to be remembered. It shall be blotted out forever and ever. Your name shall rot. And men are trying to exalt the names of their fellow men. And unless they have trusted Christ as Savior, God says, the name of the wicked shall rot. And all of those names that shall live forever in the annals of man's history, God says, their name shall be blotted out forever and ever. And God says, I will cause their names to perish from remembrance upon the earth. And so just remember this, all of you who happen to be against Christ, and all those that you know who are against the Lord Jesus Christ, the very things that in your heart, perhaps you will not come out and speak them as God has revealed it in his word, God says those very things are going to happen to you. That your name, with all that's associated with it, it's going to rot. Your name that you think is so enscrolled in heaven, shining brightly before God, God is going to rub it out forever and ever. And your name that you want to be remembered, it's going to be removed from remembrance forever and ever. Now, this is the desire of the wicked upon the person and name of our Savior. From the time that he was born, man sought to put him to death. And finally, when that hour of darkness that was theirs came, they did put our Savior to death. And the Father allowed his Son to have inexpressible emotions of pain and sorrow in his soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in Psalm 102, and that psalm is taken up in Hebrews chapter 1, and our Savior says this, he who had been empowered by God his whole life long, it says the Spirit of God was with him, the power of God was upon him to heal. He who had experienced the power of God his whole life long, the Lord Jesus said, he weakened my strength in the way. And just as Samson, who all his life had been filled with strength, but through sin and disobedience, his hair was cut off, and he became like any other man. Only in this instance, it was the Father, because Christ must also suffer for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And because of that, it says, God weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. The Lord Jesus understood that. The Lord Jesus was one who had reached not even half of 70. And he would experience the strength of God his whole life long, now experience the weakening by God in the way. And he who had endured days and no man could lay a hand upon him, now it says God shortened his days. And he's hanging upon the cross. And it seems as if his enemies have had their desire to come upon him. But the scripture also says this about the wicked. It says, the desire of the wicked shall perish. But as they look upon the Savior on the cross, they say words like these, now that he is crucified, now that he's dead, he will not rise again. Now that we have him where we want him and our desire is upon him, now this is the end of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And that's what they cast in his teeth when he was on the cross. You are the Christ? God loves you? Well, if he wants you, let him have you. Come down from the cross. They cast all these things in his teeth. Remember that the Lord Jesus, though he expressed only 7 utterances from the cross that we have recorded, in the Psalms, you read of the things that transpired in his soul, the conversation that he had with his Father, and also the conversation that the Father had with his Son. We have in the Psalms the secret things that the Father told his Son. And when the Lord Jesus was speaking to his Father on the cross and saying, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days, I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days, thy years are throughout all generations. And this is what it says in Psalm 102. Listen to the Father speaking these words to his Son. This is what was the assurance that the Father gave to the Son, when it seemed as if the desires of the wicked were being realized, were being fulfilled by his Son being crucified. The Father says, of old didst thou lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. It says, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. I want you to understand that when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, and at one time on the cross, he cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father uttered these words to his Son, of old didst thou lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. The Father is telling his Son on the cross, Son, you must die. It is inevitable that you must die. You are the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. The Father is telling us this of His Son. But at the same time, while He tells His Son, you must die, He reminds Him that He is the Eternal One. He was the Eternal Word with the Father. He reminds the Son that all things were made by you, and without you was not anything made that hath been made. All creation was brought into existence by you. And the Savior had men talking to Him as they walked around Him as He hung on the cross. But secretly in His soul, the Father was speaking to the Lord Jesus as well. And so while He experienced abandonment by God and cried, "Why hast Thou forsaken Me?" at the same time on that cross, the Father spoke these words to His Son, reminding Him that He is the Creator of heavens and earth, that they are going to perish, they shall be changed, they shall be laid aside. He said, "But thou shalt endure, and thy years shall have no end." Now, this is the beauty. In Psalm 118, now, we've heard the words of the wicked spoken to Christ. We have heard the words of the Father spoken to Christ. And now we have the words of Christ spoken Himself. And they are words that are so meaningful to us as they were to Him. And this is what it says in Psalm 118. He said, "I shall live and not die." Now what does that mean? It does not mean that the Lord Jesus thought that He was going to have the cup pass from Him, that He was not going to drink of the cup. Because the Lord Jesus had pled with His Father in the garden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." And then the opportunity came for Him to escape, so Peter thought, and he would pull out his sword and defend his Savior, and they would flee from the garden and escape death. And the Lord Jesus said, "Put thy sword into its sheath. The cup which the Father hath given Me to drink, shall I not drink it?" The Lord Jesus knew that He had to die. But having been spoken to by the Father, having been told that thy years are without end, it is not that the Savior is not going to die, but the Savior is going to die and pass through death and be raised from the dead. And He is alive forevermore. And that is what He said in Revelation 1, when John saw Him, and he fell at His feet as one dead, and he laid his right hand upon Him, and he said, "Fear not." He said, "I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and I am alive forevermore." That's what the Lord Jesus said in His resurrection life. But in Psalm 118, the Lord Jesus said, "I shall live and not die. And I shall declare the works of the Lord." And so our Savior, who declared all God's works faithfully during His time on earth, now the Lord Jesus is faithfully in heaven declaring the works of God. The Lord Jesus right now in heaven is leading the choirs, worshiping the Father. It said, He is the one who has the children to join with Him in choruses of praise to the Father. This also is found in the Psalms. So, our Savior, who cried and asked His God why He had forsaken Him, now He has heard His Father's reassuring words in Psalm 102, and He says, "I shall live and not die, and I shall declare the words of God." And for 40 days after His resurrection, He continued to declare the works of God. And He went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. And what He began to teach man on earth, the Spirit of God guided into all truth. And now we have this complete book of Scripture. And the Lord Jesus had His desires, the words spoken by the Father to Him, and the things that He uttered with His own lips, they are realized in His life. And now He's alive forevermore, and He is declaring even now the works of His Father. So that is His joy. And also in Psalm 16, which is messianic, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, "Thou wilt not leave My soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou madest known unto Me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And the Lord Jesus had all of this assurance in His soul. And just before he died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he had told the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And now the Lord Jesus knows that the Father has shown him the path of life. And he knows that being with his Father again, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so we have the desires and the words of the wicked concerning the name of Jesus. We have the words of the Father concerning the name of Jesus. And we have heard our Savior's words concerning himself. And now this theme which has been established is taken up by Solomon in Psalm 72. And how appropriate that the most glorious and perfect type of our Savior in his resurrection glory, in his reign as King, open the gates and the King of glory shall come in. In this psalm, it is Solomon who is proclaiming the glories of the Lord. Now, place side by side the desire of the wicked. They say concerning our Savior, when shall he die and his name perish? And now the psalmist says, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. It said, and men shall bless themselves in him, and all peoples shall call him blessed. And so this is the commentary concerning all of those who hate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but have his name to perish, but have him to die. This is what they want. They say, when will he die? They want him physically out of existence. And when will his name perish? They want all his fame, his reputation, his teaching, all that he stood for. When will his name perish? That is what they want. They want everything of truth, all the light that Christ brought into the world. They want it obliterated, forgotten. And the psalmist says that his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And rather than be cursed, it says, in the coming day, men shall bless themselves in him. And it says, all nations shall call him blessed. So, this is what God tells us concerning his Son. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now the sufferings of Christ, the rejection of Christ. We with him are in that cave of Adullam. But thank God the day is coming when Saul, King Saul, shall be dethroned. And David shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And the Lord Jesus makes that promise as well to his own. It said, you who have followed me in the regeneration, he said, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so his name, it shall never perish. His name is being worshipped and adored in heaven right now. And this morning some of us were here praising the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This do in remembrance of me. We did remember his name. And concerning that name, the Father has given unto him the name that is above every name. And it says that the name Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so there are some who hate his name. There are some who despise his name, who would cast out his name as evil, who would have his name to perish. But all of those things that they desire of him are going to happen to them. And our Savior's name shall endure forever. Praise God. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that in this world we are associated with him whom the world despises, whom the world has cast out his name as evil. And we are prepared to believe thy truth, that in the coming day, when he sits upon the throne of his glory, that we shall sit with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. We worship thee, our Father, that is our portion in the future. And now, as Enoch of old, in this world, we can walk with thy Son through life. As he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that light is ours on earth, and then glory in the morning. Indeed, Father, sorrow came in to tarry for the night for him, and perhaps for us, but joy cometh in the morning. May that morning soon dawn, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.